Bon sabbat, bon sabbat. Feliz sabbato, feliz sabbato. Shabbat shalom, shabbat shalom. As always, I would like to thank the ministers of music who were in the synagogue today. I would like to thank the ministers of technology who were in the synagogue today. And I'm happy to be in the house of God above and not under the ground today. Unfortunately, before this, I actually just attended a 12-year-old's funeral. And as I look into the audience today, and I think about the time of that breath of life from God, and the family that have to experience, well, what they cannot experience anymore, you just become a little bit more grateful to say happy Sabbath. So I would like to re-welcome you all to the house of God today. If you didn't get a firm handshake or a happy hello or you look good today, y'all gonna help me do that right now. Turn to the person next to you. Go ahead, tell them hello, you look good. Welcome to the house of God. Bon sabbat, what is your name? This place is your place. And for those who are at home, I welcome you to your virtual space as well. I encourage you to stick with us and go along as we open in the scriptures and as you're on the online community. And please feel free to comment online as well. All right, so as always, I'd like to ask how you're feeling. This is a very simple feelings check, but today I would like to take it one step forward. Instead of just simply how you're feeling, this is a scenario, right? You're going to an important event. Maybe you're going to a wedding, or you're going to a job interview, or maybe you're coming to church. It doesn't matter. It's an important event. You're going there, you're super nicely dressed, and then you spill something on your clothing. You're going to look like Boo Boo the Fool, a clown, somebody who's not supposed to be there. How do you respond? What is your emotional response to the situation? Go ahead, look at your neighbor again, the neighbor you just met, and tell them either how you're feeling or how you're going to respond to being in a situation where your day might be ruined, your opportunity might be ruined. All right, so y'all doing a lot of communicating. What would you do? I know you're a thinker. You're a thinker. I know you are. Jimmy, right? Yes. All right, Jimmy, what are you doing in a situation like this?
I'll definitely come up with something like why it would happen.
You would come up with a reason why it happened? Like you'd go to the person and be like, this is why it happened? Would you tell a lie or the truth?
I would tell the truth.
You would tell the truth. Okay, what is your emotional response when it first happens? You'll be upset, emotionally drained from what happened. So here's the emotion, and then you got to the end. But how do you get from being upset and emotionally drained to being able to properly communicate with somebody in a healthy way? Do you know what you would do?
No, not at all.
Okay, so that's what we're looking for this scenario, right? I'm not necessarily just looking for how you feel, but what are you doing to put yourself in a position to be able to handle your next problem? Or position to communicate with the next person? See, that's when we talk about emotional regulation, I like to do this because it's a part of being human, right? So I'm going to take one more person. Jimmy. Oh, go ahead, Ross. I'm going to take one more person.
You have to commit. You got to put more on there and make it look like it was on purpose. Anything, you know. It's a statement now. We started a trend.
All right. So your and what emotional state are you in when you decide to commit?
Glass half full, laugh it off, it happens.
Right. So you have a worldview that allows you to receive problems in a positive light, right? And so therefore, your coping mechanism is a smile, is a reframing of the situation. So that's what enables you to get to the next situation, right? And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So if you're the person who is like, I know how I feel, and I know what I would do, but I don't know how I would get there, that means you probably don't have any strategies to control the problems in your life, right? And so this is just an idea to get those things in your mind and thinking for emotional regulation, being a healthy and happy social human being. All right, so that's just our practice. I like to do that. Thank you for belaboring me with that. So today we're going to talk about how to live a consecrated life. How to live a what? So I'm going to ask y'all to read with me. I'm going to ask y'all to engage with me. I'm going to ask y'all to talk back to me. Because today's message is supposed to be practical, right? Because you're looking at this, it says how to. Everybody knows how to books. You pick them up because it tells you how to do something, and you hope it does what it tells you to do. Well, by the grace of God, that's what's going to happen today. So let us go ahead and pray as we get into the word. God, our Father in heaven, I ask that as we open up your word, that anything that is not of you be removed very, very far away. And God, everything that we need to be received as soil that is fertile to grow the benefits and blessings of your Holy Spirit. And Father God, for those who are at home, I ask the same blessings that the distraction may be removed, that the internet may be great, and that they may receive a mighty life-changing word from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. All right, so guys, we're going into the scripture, directly going into the scripture. Am I the one turning this, or am I faking myself? Let's see. All right, I'm going to get one more practice click. All right, so I'm the one doing it. Just want to know. All right, so guys, we're reading from Joshua 3, verse 1 through 5. Joshua 3, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to ask you to read with me. I'm going to read the first verse, and you guys will read the second verse. So I also like to encourage you to take out your Bible if you have one, whether it be physical or technological, to go to the version that you like to read. I prefer to read the North American Standard Bible. The reason why I'm telling you this is because the next thing that's going to happen after this. All right, Joshua 3, and it reads, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed." Verse 2 is your chance. "At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp." Verse 3. "And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it." Verse 4 is you. And verse 5 is where we're kind of dwell a little bit. It says, "Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do what?" Listen, just to set this up for you already. If I told you to consecrate yourself today because the Lord is going to do something amazing, and this word wonders is actually exceedingly amazing. So if you think God would do something amazing, he's actually going to do something more amazing than that. So God's going to do something more amazing than what you think it is. And I'm going to tell you, consecrate yourself. What are you going to go do that day? You're going to pray and fast. For you, consecration means praying and fasting. You can accept that. Just receive it for the purpose of the conversation. What are you going to do? So y'all don't know what y'all going to do? God said, "Yo, I'm going to do something amazing for you, something that you cannot do, something that's too difficult for you, and all I need you to do is consecrate yourself and receive this." And y'all don't know what y'all going to do. All right, let me change it. I'm going to give you $1 million tomorrow. I need you to get ready for that. What you going to do then? You're going to figure out how you're going to use it. What you going to do? You in green, beautiful dress. What you going to do? Jeez. She sounds like a financial planner. For those who don't hear it, she said she's going to get life insurance. She's going to set up a 401k. She's going to set up a trust fund, baby. She's going to do it all. That's essentially what she just told us. So I don't know what you do, but go ahead, girl. Go ahead with your bad self. So essentially what we just identified is I don't even know what I would do to consecrate myself so God could do something for me. And so here's a Bible study technique that I want to share with all of you guys. If you ever come across a word in Scripture, and this is why I asked you to bring out your physical Bible if you have one. If you have a physical Bible, which I left, it has a concordance. Does anybody know what a concordance is? Yes. You said it's, you are obviously a concordance user. What is a concordance? Perfect. Your husband is a concordance user. He uses it to reference words in the Bible and cross-reference it to get a better understanding. So if you ever come across a situation like this and you're like, yo, this word is used in the Bible a lot, but I don't know what it means or how to use it in what context, pick up a Bible, a physical Bible. There are some websites now like Bible Hub, Bible Arc that has this in it and well, but pick a Bible, flip to the back, and it has a list of the words. Find your word, and it's going to give you several verses. And you read every single verse it has in there, right? If it's your Bible, it's probably going to have like 5. But if you have actual concordance, it may have like 10, 20 verse references. But read it, and it's going to give you an understanding of what you are thinking. So I'm going to jump with you guys, and I'm going to tell you these are the ones that were in my Bible. These are the ones that were in my Bible. I flipped to the back, and I was like, consecration, we're going to talk about it. What is in there? It has all of these. It has Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. So some things you're going to notice when you look at your concordance, you're going to say, well, where is this word being used a lot? You're going to have to also look at, well, why was it being used and who was it using? And because consecrate is an action verb, you're going to be like, well, who is the one doing the consecrating? I'm going to give you guys a couple of things that I picked out from my Bible. All right, the first thing I see in Exodus 29, verse 21, which is the weirdest one to me. It says, take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on his sons' garments with them, so he and his garments shall be consecrated, as well as his sons and his sons' garments with him. So what I see in this picture, what I see in this text is that blood is using to consecrate not just clothing, but people. So now I know that consecration can be done with blood, and consecration consecrates people, and it can consecrate things. Another thing, Leviticus 27, verse 14. Now if a man consecrates his house as holy to the Lord, then the priest shall value it as either good or bad, as the priest values it, so it shall stand. So sometimes you come across these verses, right? And you see, consecrate your house. And you think, I've never considered consecrating my house before. I've never considered dedicating that to my house before. And that's the beauty of the concordance, right? You flip it open, you read something, it challenges your idea of what the thing is telling you to do, and then it helps you to practice what your new understanding of how it works in Scripture. And I'm going to read you one more because it's important for where we're going next. He says, did I put it in here? Let me see if I can find it. We have property. Oh, yeah. Leviticus 25, verse 10, it says, you shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. Without knowing anything about the year of jubilee, what does it tell you is going to consecrate? What are we going to consecrate in Leviticus 25:10? It says, you shall consecrate what? The 50th year. Time has been consecrated. So I'm looking at, we can consecrate things, we can consecrate people, we can consecrate time. So now I'm looking at all of these places in my life where it's like, okay, although I don't fully understand what consecration is yet, I can understand that God, because God is making all these commands, that God is commanding us to consecrate these things in our lives. God is telling us to consecrate all these things in our lives. So, here we go. I'm going to help you get a platform for consecration by just giving you a couple scenarios. We're going to Aquatica tomorrow. What are you going to do? You're going to do what? Get your swim step together. All right? You're going to get your swim step together. What else are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do? You got it. Come on. Ooh, expectation. Get your expectation together. Come on now. Get your expectation together. All right, get your stuff together. Get your expectation together. What else? What are you going to do? None of y'all don't go to Aquatica? Okay, that's fine. One more thing. You got more? Yes. So essentially, if we're going to Aquatica, we're getting things ready, right? And we're getting our expectation ready, right? That's a part of consecration. Get it ready and getting your expectation. Getting ready, getting your expectation. All right, here we go. You are preparing a special meal. The meal is not today, it is tomorrow, and the food is prepared. But people want to eat the food. What is your response? You said make a bologna sandwich? Eat something else. The food is ready. It's set for tomorrow. And somebody wants to eat the food. And you know they cannot. They need to go do something else. Why? Because the food has been set apart for a specific purpose. So with consecration, you need to recognize that you're getting ready, that you're setting something apart, because you have a high expectation. Let's go back to the verse real quick. He says, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. Why? For the Lord will do wonders among you. So the purpose of setting apart, the purpose of getting ready, the purpose of setting the expectation is not so you're just clean, pure. It's because God is going to do something with you. God is going to do something through you. God is going to do something for you. Now, I said it was going to be practical, so here we go. I want to give you some areas in your life where you can consecrate so you can put yourself in a position where God can do wonders among you. Y'all ready? You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't show y'all no love online. Let me back up. Let me show y'all some love online real quick. So we had the situation about the clothing. The person says, if I can't skip it, I would say it was just what it is. Literally shake my head, use my purse to cover the area so it's not as noticeable. Huh. I feel you. If you have a problem, cover it up. That could be a good and a bad thing, but it's definitely adapting to the situation. All right. So now, based on everything we just said and understanding the aspect of consecration, and I'm going to give you guys... Understand the aspect of consecration. Here are a couple of things that you can consecrate. Your mind. Your eyes. Your mouth. Your time. I put examples there for you. Because you're the person who's like, you know, I've never consecrated any of these things before. Choose one and do it this week. Here it is. Your mind. Why do I say memorize a verse? I want you to do a quick internal survey. Have you memorized a verse in the past week? Have you memorized a verse in the past month? Have you memorized a verse in the past 6 months? Have you memorized a verse in the past year? Have you memorized a verse? Some of y'all are even saying, I don't even know how to memorize a verse. Now, here's the reason why I say consecrating your mind is also incorporated with memorizing a verse. Can y'all guess how many thoughts you have in a day? Just give me a guess. 1,000? 350,000. You think a lot. I like it. That's your personal thing? You think 350,000 thoughts. Cool. Any other numbers? So, the estimates are somewhere between 6,000 and like 40,000. I was looking at the studies and I'm like, are you really catching somebody's thought? Because, like, watch, I'm going to tell you right now. All right, I'm going to show you why it's hard to capture a thought. Can you tell me the relationship between a bug and a blade of grass? See, not how many thoughts you just had? I just gave you like 10 seconds to think every crazy thing. Why this man talking about bugs? A blade of grass, well, I don't like bugs. What did he just say? Is he really doing this right now? You probably thought that in half a second. And so here's the thing. Now think about this. If we're having 6,000 thoughts, think about this week. What were you really worried about? What were you really prepping for? And in those 6,000 thoughts, you were able to capture it so clearly. It was one thought among 6,000 that was in the front of your mind. Think about how much of you it takes over. So this is why we need to memorize a verse. Because if I'm mad at somebody, or if I'm worried about the test I'm going to take, or if I need to plan for the food I'm going to cook, and I'm having 6,000 thoughts, and I feel like it's 5,000 of those thoughts, we are able to capture our mind to make it focus on the right things. And in memorizing a verse, you're only able to memorize a verse if you focus on that verse and capture your mind and make it focus on the Word of God. When you begin to memorize verses, what you begin to do is say, oh, I don't have time to think about this other thing because I need to focus on what God has been saying. When you begin to memorize a verse, you begin to realize, like, I didn't even know that I could use the scripture in this point of my life. And therefore, God begins to take up more of your space, more of your time, more of your purpose. Memorizing a verse allows you to set apart your thoughts for God. If you don't know how to memorize a verse, put it to a song. I'm Haitian, so listen, yeah, meme, bonne si preme. All right, you know what I'm saying? But here's one that you guys know in Creole and, I mean, French and English, right? Cherche d'abord le royaume de Dieu. Y'all know it in English? Seek the first the kingdom of God. That's a Bible verse. That's a Bible verse. Y'all still singing the song? Go ahead, y'all want to sing it. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And here's a free one for you. One of my favorite gospel artists is Fred Hammond. Because y'all think he writes songs. He don't write songs. That man just opened the Bible and be like, how can I sing this? I got you. No weapon formed. And we like, ooh, Fred. That's it. God wrote those lyrics. Calm down now. But yeah, so it's when you become more, when you familiarize yourself with scripture, you're also able to see the references that God has given you out through your life like that. All right, the next one is eyes. I like to do a see no evil fast. So we pollute ourselves so many times with sin that we become desensitized to taking it upon our eyes and ingesting it visually. This is illicit activities. This is some of the things where people are high profile with their greed. These are some of the things where people are high profile with their selfishness. And we continually consume these things visually and we become to associate with ourselves, setting those things as our expectations. So when you set your eyes apart, you begin to say there are some things I cannot see, some things I cannot watch. And then you begin to say, God, what do you want me to see? So while others may just see a problem, you may see, I can give that homeless guy on the corner some food to eat today. While others may see an angry and upset coworker, you may see somebody who's probably had a bad week and nobody asked them the right question. And so when you ask God to open my eyes, you're asking God to see the things that you want, that he wants you to see. So if you're like, you know what, Daph, I'm the one who's scrolling all day on social media, and I want to do a social media fast so I can fast my eyes, go ahead. Say, God, open my eyes this week and see what God allows you to see as you consecrate your eyes to him. Your mouth. Stop gossip. Stop gossip. So here is my filter for gossip. It's one of my favorite things. So if you don't know if you're gossiping or not, here are some questions you can ask yourself. Is it beneficial? Do I have permission? and with God cosine. If it don't pass through one of, if it don't pass through all three filters, just consider it gossip. And as you begin to learn how to figure out what is good gossip, what is bad gossip, how do I communicate to people properly, it's okay because you're learning how to consecrate your mouth to God. And I love the idea of consecrating our mouths to God because, well, we do a lot of things with our mouths. Like, we literally build people up, tear people down. We create businesses. We start programs. We change lives with the power of our mouths. And we inspire people and we stop people from doing things. We cause people trauma 18 years later with the power of our mouths. And you know your mouth is powerful because when God has an encounter with Moses, go check it out in the burning bush, one of Moses' babbling, stammering, replies are like, God, you know I can't speak like that. Like, God, I can't talk, right? And God's simple reply to Moses is like, who you think made the mouth? And so when we think about the things that we are consecrating our lives to God, I want you to consider that interaction with Moses, who says, the way, this thing that you have given me, I don't think it's adequate to do the task that you have told me to do with it. And God's reply is, this thing that I have given you, it's going to be adequate to do whatever task I've told you you can accomplish. And so, with your mouth, say, God, use my mouth. Right? You don't get to choose what you're going to say. You don't get to choose how you're going to treat people. You say, God, how do I use my mouth today? And here's a very simple task for you. If you don't even know how to do, here's a basic start. Uplift three people that day. Just that morning, wake up and say, I'm going to uplift three people with my mouth and see where that takes you. And if you be like, yo, I can't even do one person, God ain't using your mouth. I ain't going to tell you who is using it, though. All right. The last thing is consecrate your time. Consecrate your time. Ooh, I got to go back to the mouth real quick because I love this point. It's so crazy because Moses was like, God, I can't talk to the Pharaoh because you gave me this mouth that don't work. And God's like, no, the mouth worked. Go do it. I'm going to give you Aaron. And then later on, you have like the rest of the book of Exodus. You have Leviticus. You have Numbers all recounting how Moses has to constantly speak to the people of God on God's behalf. Isn't that how God works? You'd be like, God, I can't do it. And God's like, just try to do it through my power. And then you do it through God's power. And you're like, God, I can do it. Another thing that was a struggle for you becomes the bottom of your baseline for what you can do. Only because you consecrated that thing to God. All right, last thing. Time. Time. How often do we say, I don't have time? All the time. Like, you have enough time all the time to say that you don't have time. How ironic is that? And so, when we think about choosing when, it is one of the most important things you can do to consecrate your time to God. Because you can't just say, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to reach out to my to someone in my community and talk with them. You have to choose when you're going to do it. You have to consecrate. You have to set it apart for its purpose. Now, if your time in the morning from, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. is to get ready for work, there is no way you're going to put time in there to read the Bible because you've already set that part. You already set that time apart. You say, when I wake up, I get ready for work. No. If you say, when I wake up, I read my scripture, I pray to God to use me, and then I get upon my day, you have chosen what you're going to do with your time. Right? So it's important that we become jealous with our time when it comes to God. Because if you went through the week, if you went through your day and you're saying, God, I don't have time to do this, you have never chosen to consecrate a time to God throughout that day. And I hate to put it to you this way, but I think it's George Carlin who says, just like a person being in a garage does not make them a car, a person being in a church does not make them a Christian. So if this is the only time you have consecrated to God, well, you're just a visitor. You're just a follower, like on Instagram. And you have not chosen to make relationship with God. And here's the thing. If you're a quality time person, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you're a quality time person and you want to spend time with somebody, like let's say it's me and my wife, and we go out and we're spend 10,000 hours with 100 people. And my wife wanted to spend time with me. And I just spent 10,000 hours with her with 100 people. Do you think she's going to be like, man, thank you for the time you gave me? No. No. And that was a safe example, so I used my wife, all right? But, and you have to consider it the same way when we consecrate our time to God. You spend X amount of hours throughout your day with all of these other things, with your problems, with your job, with your coworkers, with your family, all of these things. But did you ever truly decide to consecrate your time for you and God for quality time? Right? And so we have other things that we need to consecrate your time with. We have family time. One thing I didn't put up here because it doesn't connect with everybody, but we really need to start consecrating our families. We really need to start consecrating our homes, giving those things to God so God can do a wondrous thing for us. All right. Is clicker not clicking for me? Can y'all move it for me, please? So here's the thing about consecration, right? So the word consecration comes from the same word that means holy. It's a root word of the word holy. And so I need you guys to take another step because I'm asking you to consecrate your mouth, your eyes, your time, you know, all of these things. And I gave you scenarios that were secular. And I mean secular as in I told you, what would you do to go to Aquatica? What would you do with food that was meant for a thing? So when we read consecration in Scripture, it is not only prepared, set apart for an expectation, but its purpose is for God, right? So when you're thinking about consecrating these things, not only are you choosing when you're going to do this, not only are you choosing why you're going to do this, but you're choosing for who it is for. So you can change how you speak, right? You can change what you look at. But your underlying heart and purpose of the setting apart of this thing is to say that, God, I want you to use this. God, I'm creating a space for you to do something here. Because imagine if God, I just want you to think about this hypothetical situation. If God is only able to do a miracle in your life with the space you've given him, what will be done? Just consider that, right? So this is why it says dedication leads to consecration. Because honestly, God, I actually don't want to wake up and pray to you all the time. Like sometimes I woke up a little too late. And now for me to choose my time with you, I have to choose it against my time going to work, which is a whole other debate, God, because, you know, the work pay the bills, right? And now, God, if I want to choose how I speak, and I know Jimmy gonna come at me sideways when I go to work, or I know Billy and them are bullying me at school, and I've already prepared what I was gonna say to them, God, can I say it and then you just forgive me? No, because it's already been set apart. Because it's already been destined for what it's used for. This is the food that cannot be touched. And so you have to then to realize that while I want to do this, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And that's the beautiful part about it. Because it's going to be hard, you know who owns the process? God owns the process. Jesus owns the process. The Holy Spirit owns the process of helping us consecrate ourselves so God can do the work he needs to through us. So, I think a good example of this is Michael Phelps. Anybody know Michael Phelps? If you don't know Michael Phelps, he's a swimmer. He's actually the most decorated Olympian. And that's pretty much, he's a GOAT. He's a GOAT, I'm sorry. A GOAT is an acronym for greatest of all time. He's not an actual animal GOAT, he's a GOAT. All right? And so one thing about Michael Phelps is that during this period, he had a loss in one of the events. And it like stung him because he was like, yo, I could have won that. And he went through a period of 5 years where he never skipped a day of practice. I don't think there's anything I've ever done for 5 years where I didn't skip something. Like, maybe breathing, but that might not last if I, like, hit a coma or something. I don't know. But, like, 5 years of never skipping a day of practice. Can you think about the thoughts he had to dedicate to that? The time he had to dedicate to that? His eating habits he had to dedicate? This man ate like 10,000 calories a day. Like, all of these things he had to dedicate to this specific thing. And so, of course, people ask him, how does he do it? And in an interview, he makes a simple statement. He says, there are days you're not going to want to do it. Sure. And everybody has these days. But it's what you do on those days that help you move forward. So as you're considering consecrating yourself, I want you to consider this thought process, right? That, God, I want to do this. And because I've chosen to do this, I know that there are going to be times and days where I don't want to do this. But God, help me to do this. Every single thing you're going to choose to consecrate to God is not because you have the power to do it. It's not because you have the unction to do it. It's not because fully within yourself you have the capacity to do it. But because when you set yourself apart, when you put it for its intended purpose, it is God who will do wonderful things among you. Not you. You're the benefactor of the wonderful things. You're the medium of the wonderful things. But God will do wonderful things around you. God will do wonderful things on behalf of you. God will do wonderful things through you. Because you have said, God, before I gave you this space and I missed all my miracles, but now, God, I'm giving you all of this so I can see, hear, touch, feel, experience these miracles. And I want to end with, I want to take you guys here. Consecration is a spiritual journey. Consecration is a spiritual journey. The reason why I showed you can consecrate your things, you can consecrate people, you can consecrate even your time, because there are going to be times in your life where you're going to say, God, the only thing that I'm going to focus on is you. Like, this year, this month, this week, this day, I need to focus on you. And also, you got to remember that consecration is not like it's done today. So, I actually used the concordance, so look at the stuff. And in it, you have these references. And what you may notice in your concordance is that sometimes the word travels all the way to the New Testament. And that's why I said you got to use your Bible. Because the Bible writers have a very difficult task. The Bible translators have a very difficult task. Their task is to translate 4 languages, right? 3 languages, let's say 3 languages, right? Three languages, 2 major languages in the Bible, and make sure that it means the same thing when you read it later. If anybody speaks 2 languages, you know how difficult that is. Like, I would give you an example, but all y'all don't speak Creole, so it's not fair. It would just prove my point worse. So, the Bible writers understand that in this context, there's a word that means holy, and out of that holy word is the word consecrate. So it's easy to make that connection. And if you read your Bible, you might see different words. You might see the word sanctify. See, in the New Testament, the Greek word that is associated with consecrate means sanctify. Sanctify, consecrate, same thing. You may look at your Bible, you may see different words, but just because you're using concordance, you understand that the Bible wants me to connect it to this, right? And so in the Greek word, it means sanctify. And I want us to read something, 1 Corinthians 6. I did not put it up and also didn't put it on my Bible. So 1 Corinthians 6, everybody flip me to 1 Corinthians 6. Tell me why I'm using like my phone and it still takes me a long time. So if you beat me, I apologize. All All right, we're going to start at verse 7. Now, and this is going to be a couple of verses. We're going to go to verse 11. It's going to be a couple of verses. We're going to go to verse 11. And again, I apologize. I didn't put it on the PowerPoint, but it's all good. We're going to rock because we got our Bibles. All right. 1 Corinthians 6, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinthians. And he says, starting at verse 7, he says, "Actually then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather suffer the wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves do wrong and defraud, and this to your brothers and sisters." So Paul, we're jumping in the middle of text, so I'm just going to try to give you a little context. Paul is writing to them about their disputes. And essentially their disputes are people's behavior, people's character, people about the person, right? And Paul is like, you're talking about people, but like you are those people too. And so he continues on to say this. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor those who are habitually drunk, nor verbal abusers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And so if you didn't find yourself in that list, just add your sin that you have acknowledged in that list, right? Like, whatever your thing is, add it in that list, because that's his point, right? He's reading everybody in the room right now. And then he goes on to say this. "Such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were," and here's the word, "sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." See, the thing about the sanctification is, I know that there are people in this room right now who are like, "I'm on that list, Randy, you can come up for me, please." I know there's people in this room who are like, "I'm on that list. I am one of the people who shall not and should not inherit the kingdom of God. And I recognize that my sin separates me from God's holiness." As a matter of fact, as I thought about the challenges of today, I realized that, "God, I have not consecrated a single thing to you." And here's my encouragement. This verse right here. He says, you, based on this criteria, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who came, experienced life as a human, encountered sin in all of its facets, continually overcame, went to the final fight of death, and won that too, came up from the grave with all power in his hands. But Christ washed you. But Christ cleaned you. But Christ purified you. You see, to consecrate something is to clean it. It's to purify it. It's to get it ready. It's to prepare it for its purpose. And so that's why he talks about washing. And I want to encourage you today that the moment you say, "God, I realize that that is me," that God is able to consecrate you. Amen. That God is able to say, hey, I can use a broken person. Hey, I can use a person who feels like they can't show up all the time, who have commitment issues. Hey, I can use a person who's never been able to control their mouths. I can use a person who can't commit to their family. I can use you because I can wash, I can clean, I can restore, and I can use it for its intended purpose. We were never put on this earth to experience and create sin. We were literally put on this earth to live life and live it abundantly. And that's what consecration allows us to do. So, today, I want to give you a challenge. And the challenge is simple. Choose ye this day who you must serve. As you sit in front of this opportunity, and you think, God, I need to consecrate that one thing. You say, God, and I want you guys to just say this before we transition. Say to yourself, God, you can use me. And here's the thing. Here's your commitment. God, use my fill in the blank. God, use my work, use my family, use my money, use my time, use my thoughts. You fill in the blank. And here's the next thing, And God, show me the wonderful things you will do for me. Right? Because every time we read in the scripture, that God is consecrating something, it's because God is doing something. So immediately when God sees you consecrating this thing, immediately when God sees you setting apart this thing, immediately when God sees that God has an expectation that I'm doing something in this space. And I am excited for what God is going to do in that space. And with that in mind, I want to pray. I want to pray specifically, Jimmy Berry, is that the name? Is there Jimmy Berry? Jimmy, if you don't mind, I just want to, whatever it is, I understand that you have a prayer request. I'm going to call up Sister Sterling up front as well, please, if she's in the building. If she's in the building. And if she's not in the building, it's okay. Elder Auden, come on up. Elder Auden, come on. Come on. You've chosen to consecrate your time to the Lord today. Come on, brother. Y'all know how long it's been since Auden been here? He got his wife come here. He got his son come here. He got his grandkids. He don't even have grandkids. They came here like, took too long. You took too long. Jimmy, do you mind if we pray over you? Come on up, brother. Come on up. Listen, I have no idea what you want prayer for, but that's why I'm not God. But I do know that prayer is powerful. And I do know that you have decided that God is going to do a wonderful thing for whatever you want prayer for. I'm going to ask Sister Sterling to do a prayer for us.
Jimmy's here studying in the gap for Charlene. Remember, he asked this morning for prayer? So we're going to ask all of you to support him by standing. God is able to heal. He has done it for us before, and he will do it again. Okay? So you see how all these people. So pray in your heart while I pray out loud. Let's pray. Father God, you are the only one that can save. You are the only one that can heal and restore. You are God above all gods. You are creator, redeemer, your healer, your sustainer, your provide for us. And now, Lord, we are here standing in the gap for Charlene. She's in the hospital. You know she would be there. You know what is happening in her body. You know, because you created her in your image. So Lord, as we come before you this morning, we ask that you will cover her. Heal her, because you are the great healer. Restore whatever needs to be restored. And Lord, may she feel your presence wherever she is at this moment. May she feel your guiding hand and your leading hand touching her body and bringing her back to restoration. We pray for her friend who and his family who saw it fit to bring her before you this morning in this capacity. Lord, we pray that we need more people like this. And we pray that you will honor their request. Family, children, their household. We just ask, Lord, that you cover them. If there's anything in our lives, Lord, as we pray this prayer that would prevent it from answering, we ask that you cleanse us from everything that is unlike you and restore in us the clean heart and renew our spirit within us. We ask, Lord, that you'll continue to consecrate our lives at Message of Hope. Help us to be able to work together to finish the work so that you can come, because we want to go home. Mm-hmm. Bless this family in a special way, and remember Charlene. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I always wanted that prayer. So, as we're standing, and you can be seated. As we're standing, you can stay up. It's fine. I just like to share an appeal. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The first appeal is simple. God, consecrate me. If you're the person who says, God, I want to be consecrated, I want to be set apart that my expectations can be made in a way that you can use me, I'm going to ask you to come forward for the prayer of consecration. You said, God, this thing, this problem, this person, this situation requires a wondrous work. Something above what I am able to do, because it is exceedingly difficult. And the hand and the power of God fits the mold. We're going to pray for you. And as all heads bowed and eyes are closed, my second appeal is this. If you're the person who came today and has realized that, God, I recognize that in the sanctification process that you wash, that you cleanse, you restore, and the only thing I can identify with is as a sinner who will not inherit, I want you to simply raise your hand and come forward. You say, God, I want to make the decision to walk the rest of my life with you, to consecrate the entirety of my life with you. If you're that person, you can raise your hand, we'll come get you, or you can simply come forward. And for our family who are at home, this prayer is for you as well. Put yourself in a position to receive the prayer of consecration, if that was your desire. And if you're the person who says, I want to walk further with God because I've never done that before, send us a message and we'll connect with you. Let us pray. Our most holy, loving, gracious Father, we recognize that from the moment that we come into this life, that everything tries to take our mind, take our eyes, take our time, take us away from you. However, through the grace of your Holy Spirit, God, there are a group of people on this earth. There are some believers on this earth, God, who have said, despite what the world says, despite what the culture does, despite the pressure that I'm receiving from this problem today, that I want to consecrate this thing to you. And so, Father God, you see them before you. As a matter of fact, you see their hearts, you see their thoughts, you see their situation, you see the narrative of their life. And Father God, I first want to thank you for every hand of amazing grace that you've placed upon them. And I want you to show them in this moment, God, the intersections that you have stopped by in their life to stop something so they could keep going. Father God, I want you to show them for just one moment, God, the mountains that they walked over that they felt were just straight paths. And Father God, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit show up in their homes, show up in their cars, show up on their jobs, God, show up in their hearts, show up in their mouth, show up in their eyes, God, for whatever thing that they're deciding that, God, you need to do a wonderful thing here, God, that I'm tired of failing in this spot, God, that, God, I'm tired of the old, I want the new, I want a wonderful work, God, you do you. And so, Father God, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit comes in, wrecks everything that is not of you, throws it far away, binds up the enemy, God, shuts the mouth of the liars, God, tells the accuser that you are to be accused, God, and you give them the power and that you set up the space to do something amazing. And Father God, I ask this prayer on behalf of your church and your people, Message of Hope, that as we leave here today, that people come back and say that God did a wonderful thing to me. That people are not selfish and they testify and say that, God, that day I decided to consecrate that thing to you, this is what you did. And I'm sharing with everybody else. So God, we thank you for the expectations we can set, for the preparation that can be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.